Proposition number 21628, Rule 4.
Fred Hawkins, Rule 4.
The German devices for booby traps were unique, really. I've got some upstairs. They had the same principle as what ours did. The other thing, which I think was a terrible weapon, if you like to call it, so was the S mine. Unless you, in the dark, you couldn't see it, and naturally, but if you saw it in the daylight, there was only just the little prongs sticking out of the sand, which possibly by the time you'd got up there, if there was more than one, but somebody else had trod on one. But they used to do the damage in a very awkward place. Fortunately, none exploded near, not close to me anyway, so I wasn't wounded by any of them. While I was at Benghazi, they put on a display of street fighting. That was an interesting thing. Various personnel from units came and watched the units of the battalion carry out a demonstration of street fighting in the Benghazi area. I was sent back from, there again at Benghazi, I was sent back to Palestine to go on a junior commander's course. And that was a very interesting journey, really. We were allowed to keep our rifle and 10 rounds of ammunition, and the orders were, when we got back to Abbasir Barracks, where we got a report, we were to hand that in, because by that time we were out of harm's way. But we had to make our own way back from Benghazi down to Tobruk the best way you could. There was no organised transport. The chap, he got killed at Casino, but he lived at Margretting. Him and I went on it, Corporal Eddie Parker. And we managed to get on one of these huge tank transporters to get back down to Tobruk. It was there we got on the railway, on the train, and we got to Cairo, and we brought it in Abbasir Barracks and handed in our weapons. From there, we went up to Sarafand in Palestine, and that's where we'd done our junior commander's course. It was 3 weeks that lasted.
What did you learn there?
We'd done very well on that, both him and I. They got good marks for that. And all this, I realised afterwards, was a great asset when I got the parachute regiment. That was because we had to take the chaps there on the train, and I think all what I learnt there that, in Palestine and Benghazi was first-hand knowledge of the situation. We came back and finished there. We came back and rejoined the battalion, and we finished with them right up to Enfidaville and the Tobolba and Medjez El Bab defences, where war in North Africa sort of ceased there around about the 8th or 9th, 10th of May, or somewhere in about 43. Battalion come back in stages so far, and then I was on an advance party. I was acting company quartermaster sergeant then, on an advance party, and the battalion at the time, we lined the Tripoli Benito Road for an inspection by the King, King George VI. And as far as I'm concerned, that was the second time I'd been before him, because the first time was in the Territorial Army, before the war. But we had it been inspected by the Duke of Kent, I think it was, in Palestine. We've been inspected by His Royal Highness. From Tripoli, we moved back in stages back to Misurata. That's where Churchill and Montgomery had their caravan, and that's when they were discussing the events of the battle and what the procedure was from there on. Misurata was a nice place. Plenty of washing facilities and food as well. Washing facilities all the way through the desert were not good. You hadn't got much water to use anyway, and you try and three or four of you would empty your water out of your mess tin all in one and get enough to rinse a pair of socks through or something like that. But you couldn't do much, and you couldn't waste any of your water, because you never knew when you were going to get any more. These boxes that they called, as they called them, supposed to have so many weeks' supplies of fuel, food, water, and anything else was needed. But that didn't always work out. One thing I had forgotten, earlier on in the desert, they called for a mobile column from the battalion, and B Company was chosen for this. We had a Captain Young. He used to live up the road here, about 3 miles up the road. He was my platoon commander in the early days, but he was a captain, and he was in charge of, he was overseer of B Company. So there was three platoons of B Company. We had a wireless link, an ambulance, and we had three of the battalion's Bren gun carriers, and Sergeant Eddie Chapman EK, and we had I think it was 161 artillery, not a regiment but a party of artillery, and our job was to go out and on a raiding party, and also to make sure that the gaps in the minefields were protected. We set out on the 26th of June, 42, and when we got the whole column was under a Major D. Smith, Dougie Smith. And they called it Smith Coal because of his name, Smith Coal, that's all it was. And he'd got the orders of where to go, where what minefields to patrol and all this sort of thing. When we got to the gaps in some of these, in the minefields, we found that they were already in German occupation. the Germans were rushing through there to back down to Egypt. So they done some firing. We had retaliating fire, but because this was on the evening of the 26th, and as the evening got darker there, and we were still travelling across the desert, somebody must have been a very, very good navigator. And when they saw an enemy column, then the column used to halt, the infantry would take up a defensive position, the battery of 25-pounders would unhitch, and they'd fire over a couple of salvos to the column or the enemy column or the enemy position, hitch up and be away again. And this was the sort of action we had. Later on the night of the 26th and 27th, you come up against this Sergeant Chapman. They come up against a landing ground where they spiked some planes, made sure they'd never fly again. And another forward landing ground that they took, they captured one or two German officers. And this was all getting on the evening of the 26th and coming up to the morning of the 27th. And in the early hours, around about 5 a.m. on the morning of the 27th of June, we joined up with the 2nd New Zealand Battalion. And from then on, we took orders from them. We were in this position, took up a position there. There again, we built Sangers as quick as we could, because the Germans weren't far away then, and the whole New Zealand division were there. We had our Bren carriers joined the New Zealand Bren carriers. The artillery joined the New Zealand artillery. And we were going to come under, I think it was a Colonel Hartnell, New Zealand brigadier, I think. I think it was brigadier. But we were going to take our orders from New Zealanders from then on. We had two casualties there. We'd built these sangars out of the rocks and stones as quick as we could, because it was hard ground and there was no way you could dig. You just couldn't do it, and you didn't have that much time. The shells were coming over all the time from the German positions, and the artillery was replying. But when shells seemed to be creeping up closer to us, and Chrissy Smith, who was the platoon sergeant there then, he called out, "Take cover," and everybody took cover of the best they could, but two chaps didn't, Corporal Burton and a Private Huggins. And when the shelling had stopped, because there were splinters flying, beside the bits of shrapnel, there was splinters of rock and all sort of flying, these two laid on the ground, but they'd been killed by blast. And that was the first two casualties on this mobile column. This carried on sort of during the day, and then we were informed that the whole New Zealand division was become surrounded. And this was on a point known as Min Quam, M-I-N-Q-Q-A-I-M. And the New Zealanders, their intense fire drove off a number of enemy tanks and about 200 lorry loads of infantry that were going to attack. So they, whatever happened, they had a second thought and they didn't attack. They didn't get petered out because of the casualties they had. This was on the day of the 27th. On the evening of the 27th, there was an O group called, and Captain Young went up, And when he came back, he called an old group of the platoon officers and the NCOs, the senior NCOs, and said what the program was for the night. Now, had the New Zealanders been completely surrounded, and that had been the whole division captured, then that would have been a feather in Rommel's cap. But General Freyberg got other ideas. They decided that they would break out of this encirclement, and the idea was that at a time given, we would move from our position to a new position and line up in extended order, which we'd done. And we were told just prior to going to this position that we have to go out in a bayonet charge. And we were told we'd go out in a bayonet charge and we would get through the German lines and there'd be transport waiting. We would aboard the transport and get away. So our transport had joined up with the New Zealand transport. There must have been quite a bit of planning in this because of the results. There was an order given to advance. We were in extended order. We couldn't see the people in front. We knew the Maoris were in front of us and New Zealand troops behind. When the very light were fired, then it was a case of charging through charging through the German lines. The Maoris had their war cry, I suppose it was, and they charged through. But then you fired at where you saw this fixed line German fire coming from. You just fired at it, and hopefully you couldn't see. I mean, not to say see properly, but by that time there were shells going off, there was flashes, there was bangs, there was the smell of burning, bullets whizzing all directions, you know, and it had taken the Germans by surprise, really, which is a good thing. chap who lives at Chelmsford now, he lost his leg, but he was beside me because he was a Bren gunner. And we were going along, he was about 2-3 yards away from me, and he had his leg blasted off. And I didn't know this till afterwards, but the stretcher bearers, New Zealand stretcher bearers, come up and were dressing him, and they were all taken prisoner. We charged through, and some of the Germans were undressed, some had the tanks and that, but apparently it did take the Germans by surprise, this charge, but it carried on and through, and we got to the transport. And we was lucky enough, we got on transport. One chap who lived down Burnham used to work for a boat building firm, the name of Pellicrow. This chap knew this Pellicrow, and he'd missed him. So he ran back to where he'd just come from, found him. He's only a small chap, this one, but he got him on his back and he ran and got him onto a vehicle and they got away. But unfortunately, this Roland Pellicrow, his name was, he died on the track during the night. This chap, he ought to have had decoration. He never. John Dow, I never saw him no more than up for 40 some odd years. My mate Chrissy, he got wounded. He got one in the leg, but a chap who lives at Southminster now, near where Chrissy used to live, he saw Chrissy, he was a platoon sergeant, sort of wounded, and he managed to get him on a truck. Because this was in the early hours of the morning, and it was hardly light, but only, you could only see images of vehicles, you know. But once I was on, the transport, I don't quite know how this worked out, but the transport managed to come round and be where we wanted it to get away. So there must have been a gap somewhere in the encirclement for that to be there. But we got away. That was on the June 27th, 28th. That was in the New Zealand history books. It's one of the noted battles. Yes. Fortunately, the majority of our chaps got away, but there were three killed, to my knowledge. One was so badly wounded he wanted to be left. Frank Dines, John, Private Dines, Corporal Harris, there's one more. I can't think of the other chap's name now. But the majority of us got away, and we rejoined the Round Battalion, who were already in position.
What did you think of the New Zealand troops?
Terrific. The chaps were wonderful, really. It was certainly a, we'd been blooded from then on, you know, proper, real good and proper. They were very, very pleased that the Colonel Hart, or Brigadier Hartnell, I think, was sent a message of congratulations to the CO. Said they were very pleased to have had us with them for their courage and dash. And the New Zealand troops spoke very highly of us, apparently. So it was a compliment anyway. In the meantime, the battalion had been in action. There'd been some rather heavy fighting round where the battalion were, and we rejoined them. We rejoined them from there on. But that was a patrol which was different to any of the other patrols that we'd done. Been out north singly, or a section patrol, or perhaps a platoon patrol, or something like that. But not, we hadn't gone out on a mobile column. That's the only one that I know of that we were on. Once we'd finished up at North Africa, as I say, we come back down to. That finishes the patrol anyway, the column. We come back, we had this parade for the King at Tripoli Benito Road. Then we gradually moved back to El Tahag. That's where I got transferred from B Company to A Company. A Company had casualties and they were short of senior NCOs. So I went into A Company from there on.
In what capacity?
As platoon sergeant. We had a good clean up, proper food. It was a great relief to be out of the fighting area. And then we suddenly had the order to go to Baalbek in Syria. We rushed up there. We were supposed to do a lot of hill and mountain warfare. There was a mountain warfare school up there, and we would eventually have gone to that. and carried out this specialist training. But our stay up in Syria was very, very short. We'd just about unloaded and got settled down when the order came to rush back. We came straight back to Egypt, just outside Alexandria. And in no time at all, we were on board the Cuba of France and the Staffordshire, I think it was. This was in the November time. And we went across to Italy, Taranto. There we went into the 18th Indian reinforcement camp. We were soon detailed for moving from there. Myself, I was with a company quartermaster sergeant whose job I'd done on several occasions. He was a quartermaster, company quartermaster sergeant, but I'd been doing acting quartermaster sergeant on several occasions in his absence. We were on the advance party from Taranto, from this transit camp of Taranto, up to a place called Avigliano in Italy. That's on the Adriatic coast. We passed through Gravina and Canosa, one or two other places. But before we got to our destination, the heavy snow came and we were snowed in. There was about 8 of us with the driver of this 1500 weight truck, the quartermaster, myself, and possibly 4 or 5 other people on board. I can't remember exactly, but somewhere near that. And we found a building, just a square building on the side of the track we was travelling on. We managed to get in there, and we used all our rations up out of our haversacks, and we used up the emergency ration that was on the vehicle. We were out of communication, out of touch with anybody, and apparently the whole battalion by this time had been on the move, and they were all snowed in. We eventually got to this place called Avigliano, and that is where we spent the Christmas of 43, 44. We were near a school, I remember, boys' school. I know we went into the school itself, and when these boys were waiting for their food, I got metal bowls banging on the table, terrible noise they were making. But it was a school for, not an ordinary school. I should think this was for, it wasn't a punishment centre, but it was at some special school there where we billeted around there. We went out for Christmas dinner. We spent the Christmas there. We had pig, because battalion had caught up with us now, and our company cook, or the battalion cook, was a very good scrounger, and he'd borrowed a pig off some hard-up Italian, I think, and we had pork for Christmas dinner, which was a surprise. Once we left there, we were going on to take over from the New Zealand Cavalry, who were in the line, and we were going to relieve them. That was a snowed area as well. But We went on patrols from there. We hadn't moved only about once more to another forward position when we thought we were going to carry on going up the Adriatic coast of Italy under the 8th Army's side. But the Americans had sort of come to our stand.